Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Now, for the longest time, whenever we've spoken to the Auditor General or read reports around municipal financial management and concerns, it's been very clear that, for lack of a better word, it's a financial quagmire that continues to exist. Some challenges with regard to wage negotiations on the ground have now recently surfaced, which do continue to take place from this week, being Monday the 12th of August. And the challenge that's been highlighted is that municipalities appear to be unable to afford their staff. How does this happen? How do we reflect on wage negotiations going forward? And most importantly, how do we ensure that there's adequate financial management of these municipalities? Joining us to tell us more now is a good friend of the show, Mielani Oleni, Group Chief Advisor at Indiso Group Consulting. Such a pleasure to have you with us, Mielani. Welcome to the show.
Good evening, Gugu, and good evening to the listeners.
Fantastic. A delight to speak to you as always, because I do recall the last time we probably touched base with you was around the elections, where you helped us provide some context around not only the importance of municipal elections, but elections at a national level, but also how these two bodies are interlinked to make sure that adequate resources are funneled through to municipalities. But our major challenge has often been the human capital side, making sure we've got the right people who are able to do the right job and just essentially implement the PFMA. So maybe let's just start there in terms of the management of municipalities and how this has further become more complex on the back of wage disputes that appear.
Absolutely. I think the point where municipalities have gotten to, especially in terms of the human resources, the wage bill has increased quite significantly. And this has been coming over a long period of time. And this is how it happened. In the boom times, when municipalities were doing well, everyone could afford to pay their services, the expansion in each one of those municipalities also create or necessitate that the formula of determining the wages for the senior managers, for the staff, be revised, because there's obviously a larger municipality, the revenue is much higher, and everyone is at least, you know, enjoying the benefits of a good economy. As soon as we hit a bad economy, which was exacerbated by COVID, we got to a point where revenue is down, but the costs remain. And more especially, the cost of the wage bill remains as it is. And it has always been the expectation that on an annual basis, when the wage negotiations take place, they would end up with at least, you know, near inflation or above inflation. But now we are facing, or municipalities are facing, very difficult times. Revenue is down. Financiers are no longer supporting municipalities as they would. Consumers are also under strain. And so the costs continue to grow, and the employees obviously are expecting that, you know, they be treated like other employees who are receiving increases, whether it be in government or it be in business. Mm.
And much of the concern here is that it's not just about labor looking to be adequately paid by municipalities, but we also need to look at the financial state within which municipalities find themselves in South Africa at the moment. According to SALGA, the 66 municipalities considered by National Treasury to be severely financially distressed. Severely financially distressed. Those are strong words. And there's another 157 that is considered to be financially distressed. So essentially what we're understanding here is that there's a poor level of financial management within these municipalities. Mielani was painting a beautiful picture on the times pre-COVID and post the pandemic, where we actually saw how the macroeconomic conditions, the health concerns and societal concerns painted either what was a positive picture for municipalities, and when things were really good, things were running. But then when slapped with a number of challenges and intricacies to maneuver, things got really challenging. So that really does help us understand how it is that we find our municipalities within this financial standing at the moment. But as mentioned, Mielani, we've got you back on the line now. Thank you so much. The good old telephone will work.
Thank you.
Fantastic. We can hear you loud and clear, and I'm glad you can hear me too. I'm happy for you to pick up where we had left off, Mielani. You're really helping us understand not only the financial distress nature of municipalities, but how this just further weakens the argument for labor to try to actually see some kind of increment and increase here, because there just has been poor mismanagement of funds.
Yeah. So in part, you know, I was also explaining the fact that the disciplines of governance, the discipline of managing the technical aspects, the discipline of managing budget, as well as the discipline of having value chains that deliver revenue consistently, have perhaps, you know, been left, you know, to their own devices and have not been followed through. So some of it, you know, will come through with regards to the vacancies or the loss of skills, the ending of contracts, especially for the Section 56 and 57 who are on five-year contracts and so on. But also then that would result in, to a larger degree, mismanagement that would result, you know, in revenue not being deployed in the right way. We've seen the wave as the political changes were taking place where staff were being made permanent. Whereas they would have come through as temporary or EPWP staff, the members, interns were coming in, and a lot of pressure was being placed on the political side or on the officials to convert, you know, most people to being permanent, the insourcing issues that were coming through. So all of those combined in terms of decision making, and perhaps you can put it as the mismanagement because it is a decision that has emanated from somewhere, and now that has bloated the number of people that are there within the municipalities, and of course, you know, as soon as you are employed in a municipality, some, you know, believe it's a job for life, and the expectations, you know, start to come in.
And you're right, this also reminds me of that particular case that we saw with labor unions when there was this transition in terms of power and the governments of local government in the city of Johannesburg, those who were aligned and affiliated with the ANC, and when that shift took place to the DA, then there was concerns or cancellation of some of their contracts at the time, which also came up to the fore. So you're quite right. It's really become significantly bloated, various cases within which there might be a duplication of services even. But what I'm intrigued to understand, Mielani, is as we know, SAMHU is continuing to engage with municipalities on the salary increase. We have yet to figure out where they'll land. It's between 8% and 3.5%. But another challenge that municipalities face, as you say, is part of the value chain is the revenue generation, because the revenue needs to be earned in order for them to be able to pay out, not only for the services and maintenance of municipalities, but also for labor. So are we finding that there's a challenge on that end as well, where the outlook for adequate and sustainable revenue models remains threatened?
So I think a lot of the cities as well that, you know, we are seeing, for instance, we see that property rates revenue, which is a fixed tax, is outstripping the income from electricity. That is a telling sign that there's an underlying problem within the electricity department, because that is how the bulk of the revenue typically comes from electricity. Mm-hmm. We've also seen other factors that may have affected the revenue with regards to electricity, but count water, count refuse, and count all the other aspects within municipalities. The typical issue here is that municipalities have always focused on the five major revenue spinners, what we call the big five of electricity, water, sewer, refuse, as well as the property rate, but negating all the other functions. We see some cities doing very well in terms of punitive revenue, which is your traffic fines, your transgressions that would be maybe road-related and so on. However, we leave the vast, you know, assets of land that, you know, could be used, you know, for fiber and for charging fiber correctly when the likes of the fiber companies come knocking for wayleaves within the municipalities. That would have been a significant opportunity. Be that as it may, there's outdoor advertising. There's also rebates that municipalities should be focusing on, such as your diesel rebates. They sit with a lot of generators and a lot of motorized equipment that does not necessarily drive on the road. Yet when they pay for diesel, they pay also for the road levy, which can then be claimed back. So there's really an ambit of revenue sources as well as alternatives, as well as developing new sources of revenue. The opportunities that renewables bring to municipalities are not necessarily being taken advantage of. So the reliance on the big five have landed the municipalities in a position where they they have left and neglected to develop other streams of revenue which could be assisting the municipalities. Isn't it a municipality, we talk about it as a business in the public sector, which should also be innovating and looking for different ways. So municipalities, unfortunately, are not innovating, are not coming up with new ways, are not creating new revenue streams. So there is now a smaller pot, coupled with the fact that the equitable share that is divvied up to municipalities remains still at about 9%. So there is no growth with regards to the revenue basis of municipalities. And that would have been the greatest way of at least pulling themselves out of the difficult situations. And really, there are many ways that municipalities should be generating revenue. Biogas, you know, we can name, you know, it would be a show on its own if we were to go through the different line items which could assist municipalities to grow their revenue base.
Definitely. Sounds like an MBA task here, hey? That would definitely work as a model, and I can imagine there are many people who have actually found and tested perhaps alternative means of municipalities raising revenue there, but one that does need to become a lot more practical, especially for municipalities in South Africa. Always a pleasure speaking to you, Mielani. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you very much, and good evening.
Thank you. That's Mielani Oleni, Group Chief Advisor at Ndiso Consulting Group.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.